The Old Testament reading for the baptism of our Lord is from Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can he who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we've been united with him in a death like this, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like this. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin, once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter. John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, "After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens opening, and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Mark is the only book in the Bible that announces itself as Gospel, in Mark 1:1. The good news about Jesus, a verse read 5 weeks ago on the second Sunday of Advent. There is no word in Mark about the birth or youth of Jesus. He starts right in with this good news of Jesus' baptism as the beginning of his ministry. It is the fulfillment of the messenger promised by the prophet Isaiah, a promise reiterated by John's own explanation of Jesus' baptism, that his baptism was with water, but Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Spirit, Mark 1:8. A sermon on this text will begin with Jesus' baptism, then move to our baptism. John's baptism had two components, repentance and forgiveness. As John explains what took place with Jesus, he adds that baptism is not only with water, but with the Holy Spirit. Those elements are still true of baptism today. The baptismal liturgy marks the end of the old life, in the words, "Do you renounce?" and the beginning of a new life lived in God's grace and forgiveness. Then John adds a new component with the gift of the Holy Spirit, also part of our baptism service, when the pastor says, "You have been sealed by the Holy Spirit." Later on, toward the close of his ministry, Jesus makes himself clear that baptism leads to a new way of life. When the brothers James and John ask to be seated next to Jesus in the life to come, Jesus points out in Mark 10, verse 39, that the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. To be baptized in Jesus is to follow him. After Jesus finished with his life on this earth and his followers became the early Christian church, they developed what baptism means for us. The process starts immediately at Pentecost, when God gives the disciples the gift of the Spirit to carry on this new life in Christ. In Acts chapter 2, after his sermon on the Pentecost, the listeners ask the Apostle Peter how they should respond. He answers with these same three components of baptism. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Christ Jesus, so that your sins will be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. As we continue in the New Testament, our understanding of what baptism means for us continues to unfold. It always follows faith, the faith of the person being baptized, or the faith of the parents. Following what Jesus said in Mark 10, in baptism we die, as Jesus did, but we are also raised to new life, as Jesus was. The great promise has sustained Christians throughout the centuries. As Dietrich Bonhoeffer was led to his death, he said to one of the prison guards, "For some this is the end, but for me it is the beginning." One hymn writer, John Ivelsacher's hymn, states, "You can't kill me, I've already died." We die in baptism, but we rise up to new life in Christ. Furthermore, baptism is more than an individual act. In baptism, we become part of a people. The Apostle Paul emphasizes in 1 Corinthians how we are all baptized into one body. Colossians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12 compares baptism with the Old Testament rite of circumcision, by which infants were made part of the people of the covenant. The issue of infant baptism versus believer's baptism is the fundamental division among churches of the Protestant Reformation. However, both sides agree that baptism is always done in faith, whether faith of the person being baptized or the faith of those who bring someone to be baptized. We also agree that children who have faith even before the age of their church's baptism rite are indeed part of God's people because of their faith. The main thrust of today's text and the meaning of Jesus' baptism for us is that we are baptized into something. A fundamental change takes place in baptism at whatever age. An adult who is baptized after accepting faith is changed, and an infant baptized into a family of faith will be brought up in that faith. An adult who came to faith in a congregation argued that he didn't need to be baptized because he was now saved through faith. Baptism, he said, is just a rite. It doesn't save us. It was true, the pastor told him. But he also told him that to have faith is to follow Jesus. And Jesus tells us to be baptized, just as he was baptized. In John chapter 3, Jesus told the nighttime visitor Nicodemus that unless one is born of water and the Spirit, one cannot enter the kingdom of God. In baptism, we become part of Christ's body. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that, "For by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, and that as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." In the letter to the Colossians, we read, "You were buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead." In his last conversation with his disciples, as described in Matthew 28, Jesus spoke again about baptism. He told them, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you." A person who had been baptized as a small infant once said, "As far as I'm concerned, nothing happened." She did not have any memory of it, of course, but something dramatic happened, and her subsequent life as a Christian was proof of it. We often speak of baptism as a means of grace, that is, one of the ways that God's grace comes to us. Physically, it's only a small splash of water, but it marks the beginning of a whole new life, of forgiveness, of the presence of God's Spirit, of our union with Jesus, and our becoming part of the worldwide Christian church. Amen.